Think of a song you really love.
Don't you want to know why you love it so much?
Well, we can't answer that.
No, but we can deep dive into it anyway.
Unless we get too sidetracked.
We're the Never Mind the Music podcast.
One musician.
And one psychologist.
Talking about iconic songs. The musical tricks that blow our minds.
And what they show us about our minds.
Join us each week as we pick apart everything from TLC to Weezer.
And from Billie Eilish to Bruno Mars, with plenty of distractions in between.
Check out Never Mind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
In a town blanketed in snow, a man hides his truth beneath layers of flannel and plastic wrap.
This is the Dexter Resurrection.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I actually have my good friends Jason Pitts with me, also have Anastasia Elfman with me. We're here to talk about episodes 7 and 8. I just want to apologize to everybody. I ran into some car trouble last week, and I wasn't able to record. So therefore, we have to go on ahead and combine the two episodes, but I hope that you guys enjoy this review. So let's go on ahead. Let's get this thing started. So speaking of course correction, the episode 7 is called Course Correction. Leon and Charlie are actually arguing about the whole fact of having this serial killer party still, and things are definitely falling apart. And I don't know why I laughed my ass off the way Peter Dinklage says this, where he says, "I'm sick and tired of the bullshit." And I'm just like, the execution and just the exposition of him saying it makes me laugh. I don't know why, but it was like a little bit of a moment of dark comedy to me with him saying that line and the way it came out. But you can definitely tell that Charlie's is questioning Dexter a lot more, and it bleeds into episode 8. But I really enjoyed the opening of that, and then we get into the whole thing with Gareth, when Gareth takes Gareth down. And yeah, so going ahead, tell me what your highlights were.
You go first, Jason.
Okay. Episode 7, I enjoyed it a lot. I do wish that the thing with Gareth lasted a little bit longer. I did not expect it to just end like that. It was very abrupt for me, and I really wanted to see that dynamic between Dexter and Gareth play out more and last a little bit longer. I also felt like the way he killed him was very impulsive. I understand what he ended up doing and putting on a show for Leon, but I also felt like I had never seen him do anything like that before. So it felt like it was super impulsive and out of character for me. I kind of really didn't like it, to be honest. It was interesting, and it was definitely a choice. episode 7 was actually kind of the worst episode of the season so far, because of that. It just kind of, out of character, in my opinion.
Okay. What about for you, Anastasia?
Yeah. Okay. So I have the opposite reaction. I loved it. And I was like, hell yeah, Dexter's back. We got our boy back. Yeah. I was so excited. Just because I feel like we have seen him, when push comes to shove, like anyone's gonna get it, if he has to cover mm-hmm. his tracks. I mean, I feel like based off of like the OG Dexter, that we've seen him make these very fast, quick choices to shut people up around him. And in this case with Gareth, he was doing it, was calculated. He had to, he's only gonna get so many times to just pick these serial killers off without somebody being suspicious. And so he had to do it in a way where he looked like he was the victim, mm-hmm. where he was getting attacked first and then he got hurt. And that was even a calculated hurt, because we find out later with Uma that like if it was an inch to the left or right or whatever it was, then he would have been dead. So I think all of that, he probably pushed himself in that way so that he could keep control of it. But I loved how, like, I don't know if it's like sadistic is the term, but I loved how that whole moment of them talking on the bench and then him revealing just like slowly, you know, I just ate it up. I was like, finally, we're getting somewhere, you know, because it's like kind of felt a little repetitive with like, okay, Dexter's going to kill this serial killer. How's he going to do it this time? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that one kind of took me a little off guard because, yes, I agree with you, Jason, on that point where I wish that Gemini was the biggest baddie he was going to encounter, you know, because I feel like they put a lot of thought in those two characters and how it was secret from us, the viewer, for a long time. And then the big reveal. And so, yeah, I thought that we were going to have another episode or two to really dive into that, because I also love the actor. So, but yeah, so that was interesting and entertaining. And I thought it was a little bit sloppy of Dexter to like grab the piece of the wine glass and shove it in his pocket and it being so visibly bloody in that area. And I was like, how is nobody going to like comment on that? Because that took me out of it when I was watching.
Yeah,
I gotcha. You see, I actually agree with your point, though, Anastasia, though, because we've seen him up against the wall before, especially with Doakes. Because remember what happened with Doakes? He acted like he ended up slamming Dexter's head into the Dexter winds up slamming his head into the desk. So blaming that on Dex, just as he's also framing the Gemini killer, Gareth, or trying to kill him at this party. So I really feel like that's what that trope is for me. Seeing that, I'm like, okay, I've seen this before. Dexter's done this, and to where we'll put blame on Gareth attacking him versus Dexter going on ahead and wind up taking the blame for it.
Yeah, I feel like Dexter definitely like quickly manipulates the situation and the person to make them look wrong in front of everybody. And this time he just took it another step further because he like told him all of the secrets, you know, like he could have let that go a little bit longer, like just being like, oh, I'm a super fanboy of your work. But no, he was like, oh, did you feel a burn in your chest or twins connected?
Around 8 o'clock.
And I'm like, okay, you've got to probably. Cause
that was pretty good.
Because he was like, you know, like he's hot-headed and the Gemini killer is probably going to out him. You know what I mean? Like
right.
At that point, he has nothing to live for, you know?
Exactly. And that's how I feel, though, too. And then also, too, that glass thing is way too bulky for him to put in his case, too, for like a souvenir. But then we wind up seeing him put the small, making it smaller to where it can fit in the case. But at the same time, it's bulky. And that would be cutting my leg the whole entire time to the point where you actually would have Uma Thurman trying to sew my leg up.
Yeah, so what happened?
The blood from the glass and put it on the slide with the other brother, so they both were on there. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that was pretty interesting.
I thought that was really smart because at first I didn't understand like why are we making this such a moment of him like. We were really watching him mug it into his pocket, and I was like, "There's so much blood there. Is that going to come back later?" And then it was the whole thing about having a complete slide, which I thought was so cool. Because I don't know how, I don't think we haven't seen that, right? Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we haven't.
So that's fun. I love these like little new things.
Same here. And then, you know, then you have the show and tell with Dexter in this one. And he's trying to act like he's red the whole time. And he kind of blows his cover, too, because he's like, you know what? I'm not a vegan. So he's like, you know what? I want to indulge in the buffet because this reminded myself of the time before I became a vegan. And so he winds up basically he goes back to being old Dexter now to where he doesn't have to worry about being a vegan. And then at first I thought he was going to reveal to everybody. He goes, and this is where this mask comes off. I thought, okay, is he going to reveal that he's the Bay Harbor Butcher in this moment? Because that's what I had thought at first. And then I'm like, okay, you're not. You're just telling a story about how exhausting it is to be a serial killer and to fake how everything is to him and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, I can take a little bit of a breather. But I like the dark humor within the episode. I thought that really worked out really well. And then the father and Dexter's father, Harry, is actually saying, what are you doing? You're not a serial killer. So he had to think of a monologue to actually help him out. But
yeah, I thought that was great. I loved seeing those different sides of like Dexter slash the actor Michael C. Hall. I thought that was really fun. He was like playing with different accents and different like personas, because like he is kind of, you know, he's obviously he's masking things. So it's like he has to figure out, okay, so how would Red tell his story of how he does his kills? But I thought, I also, to go back to deciding to eat meat, I thought that that was going to be like a very like moment for Dinklage, you know, to be like, okay, there's something iffy about this guy, you know, and like get him wondering what's happening, you know, because he's like kind of changing his whole persona in a way, you know, right. From like what they know of
Red.
Yeah. But I thought that was a great scene with the mirror and everything. And then it's interesting how with the show and tell, we get a glimpse of like Uma's character when he was talking about like putting on the mask and everything like that. And so there's something weird going on with her, right? Like, because usually she walks around like she's disgusted with all of them, you know, all of the like quote unquote serial killers. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that was a moment where she was like kind of reflective on whatever mask she's wearing, you know, because we still don't know what's going on with like her or her mother. Like, what is that about?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like the show and tell was really interesting for me because I felt like he came to a point where he decided that he could not fake this as Red. And so he was in that moment very authentic to himself and who Dexter is without saying that I'm not Red. I think he got as close to the line as he possibly could and still stayed authentic to him. I think he decided that he could not fake that. And I think that honesty and that transparency is what led to Leon trusting him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I definitely like that.
Yeah, his whole monologue was kind of like him almost reminding himself that he's Red right now. Because he just keeps on mentioning, right. You know, after every sentence, and Red or Schmidt or what, you know, like I thought that was kind of like, are they going to see through that? But how crazy to see, you know, the Rapunzel killer, his whole thing, that was tough to watch, you know, with the whole GoPro thing. And then also... Right. I feel like it's super forced with him talking about his family. And I'm almost thinking like, are they mannequins at home? Is it like is his family dead? Like what's happening? Because like he talks about them so much, but we never see any trace of them.
And never once do we actually see him on the phone talking to his wife, although we're going to talk about the overall theme of the next episode, which is keeping your family life separate from your serial killing life. So that's also another thing that plays into this as well. So it could be a little bit of that as well with Al. So that could be another thing that I was thinking of when watching it as I'm watching that.
Yeah, it was like him like doing the GoPro, like, oh, there's a present from my kids. It's like all these little things that just kind of like take me out of it. Like, are you sure?
Right. And he's like, Mr. Leon, I hope that you like what I'm about to do. And I like how Dexter's also having that uncomfortable feeling, just as we're having that uncomfortable feeling. You mean to tell me I have to entertain this idea of these serial killers and sitting down with these serial killers while they're having this bloodlust over how killing these girls?
I love his inner monologue line where, like, at the end of that, he's like, they all have to die.
Yeah. And we're like, yes, they do.
Yeah. Yep.
No, because that's his whole thing. It's like, I feel like I've said this before, but Dexter talks about himself like having no humanity, but I feel like he has the most heart and that he cares, and he's just this this revenge killer, and he takes care of like people in a way of stopping these serial killers from hurting again once they're on his radar.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I feel like he always downplays his importance, and like he's like the Batman, you know what I mean? Like.
Right.
He's like the sword of justice, or, you know.
Because even Harrison said this too. He's like, you know what? You have an act for justice. And then Dexter has that little look on it and says, well, maybe I do. Maybe I do have a little bit of justice in me.
it's interesting to contemplate. It's interesting to like contemplate like how many people like Dexter has saved like through the whole thing with all the serial killers he's taken out.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a few good people like dopes and stuff that he's had to take care of just to like for self-preservation. But yes, when you think about it as like on the grand scheme of things, probably thousands of people, if not more. But yeah, I just feel like also with his work choice, like being the blood splatter analyst for so long, I feel like that was saving people as well and getting bad guys in jail. And so I feel like it's weird that he has this viewpoint of himself that he's this evil person. But in reality, it's like, I feel like in some cases, if I was given the chance, like I would get rid of a serial killer too. You know what I mean? Like right. To save my family or a friend or something like that. No questions asked.
And that also plays into the next episode as well, where you were talking about the fact that, you know, where basically Harrison said, well, he put a whole entire all the criminals in there, not even having to wear a detective badge. Mm-hmm. So he mentions that to the girl that the girlfriend, Gigi. But, you know, we're going to go into this, the ending of the episode. For episode 7, where we finally get to see Harrison at the college, watching everything being laid out for the New York City Ripper. And, you know, and he's also analyzing his own self. Dexter is. He's like, does Harrison see me as this one-dimensional person who only cares about himself? Or does he see me as his father? And I like how he opens up. He goes, look, whatever she said, I'm not like that. He goes, I love you. You're my son. I want to be there for you. So I like that whole entire thing of self-care, self-examination, and knowing and wanting to know how Harrison feels. But I also like how they're doing the whole entire investigation and things like that. And then Dexter winds up telling the detective, he goes, well, the way it looks, it wasn't a crowbar. If you maybe something with a hook, and he does this whole entire thing of this blood splatter, which I thought was really cool. I really liked that scene. I also put in my notes, I said, I wish that Harrison had a chance to just text Dexter, do not come to this seminar. Do not come.
Right. I feel like that would have been the move, but also maybe Harrison was so shocked and then was interested in the, you know, her presentation. I mean, it might have happened quicker for them in their universe than like what we were watching. It seemed like it was like maybe an hour long thing, you know, like discussion. But yeah, I thought that was so wild. And it made me like, I always want him to go back into, you know, the police department and doing the blood splatter analyst stuff. Cause I love that little part of him and having all of that stuff at his fingertips, like his kid and, you know, being able to like go into police records, all of that kind of stuff. I really miss, you know, cause that was almost right. Like his partner, you know, was like being able to dig up information and go on crime scenes and cover up his own, you know, flaws, you know, picking up different things. So I miss that. And I'm trying to think if we're still in the clear where he could go back to work if he wanted to.
Well, this is my speculation. And I said this in a Dexter fan group that I'm in. I said, I think one or two things is going to happen. Either Leon is going to get him to go hire him into into the New York PD as a blood splatter analyst. And it also keeps tabs on him. And I think at first Leon's going to feel like he's betrayed the trust, that Dexter betrayed the trust, and he's a little hurt. But at the same time, though, think of him as like Moby Dick, right? Like Leon has all this collections, all this stuff, right? The big one is the Bay Harbor Butcher, because he has that's a lot more stuff that he had collected. Imagine that not only does he have his collection, but he also has the Bay Harbor Butcher himself. That's a major geek move, where he's just going to be geeking out at the fact that he has his Moby Dick, in a sense.
Do you think that there's a world where this ends up with Leon helping Dexter? Like I will help you hunt down serial killers, but I get their trophies.
That means Dexter would be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's an interesting thought because it's like he can fund Dexter. I mean, I feel like his code of Dexter's code of ethics is a little off because of how much Dinklage's character is supporting the serial killers, you know, making it so that they can continue on and funding them in certain ways. But yeah, that would be interesting. I kind of think like it would be super fun if we think that, you know, the detective staying alive, like if she, it seems like she's gonna like hone in and arrest him, Dexter, but then she offers him a job or something.
You know, well, that's another like thing. I actually have a little bit of a complex theory though too. If my other theory falls through, I also have this other one as well where I'm thinking, you know, we've seen him play this narrative on Dexter Newblood, right? Where he tells the sheriff, he goes, I think it can be of service to you. Uh-huh. Yeah, with my skills that I have, because you know I'm a blood splatter analyst. Why don't I help you with some of these cases that you have and help you catch the New York City
Ripper?
You know, Ripper. But really, he's only going to help himself. He'll probably go ahead and frame somebody else for the Bay Harbor Butcher, not Bay Harbor Butcher, but you know, the New York City Ripper. But that's just my little small thoughts on that. We also have another thing too, Batista. We're going to talk about Batista showing up at Blessings, and then we'll open up episode 8 with him looking at his conspiracy theorist chart that he has. Mm-hmm. But Dexter, basically, Batista's beside himself. He's going over to the detective, and he's outside his jurisdiction. He's outside of his own self, and nothing is adding up other than the fact that the watch doesn't match what Lady Vengeance has. All it is just the fingerprints on the watch. And then you also have him going over to Blessing's house, and then whenever he has that part with where he has Garrett's blood and his twin's brother's blood, he goes, it sounds like Miami. Batista.
Yeah, that was so funny.
But I'm like, what if Batista, maybe, what happens if Levis is trapped just to lure him inside Blessing and then look at in his apartment? Though, too, that's what I was thinking.
Because they did a shot of just the blood, his little kit, all like it was out. And I was like, okay, are they going to end up back into his apartment somehow?
Right. But no, instead they go, and Batista's there. He's teaching Blessing on how to dance to the Cuban music. And then after that, Dexter goes, so you need a ride back? I'll give you a ride. And I like how he also does surprise motherfucker to him too. Just in Spanish. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I would say everything that they're saying to each other is so, there's so many double meanings going on. Like, it's like, what are you doing here? Or, you know, you always seem to just cozy up to, you know, the perfect whatever. You know, like everything has a double meaning.
You know what's interesting about when Batista said that? It's like, oh, it's funny how you just always fit in wherever you go. Batista does the same damn thing.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Like who else can just like go to a stranger's house and suddenly start teaching them dancing? And
right, like, they've been best friends since.
He had to have been there for like 4 or 5 hours.
I don't know.
The worst when you can't get rid of somebody, it's like, leave.
You would think by now, it's like, look, I'm getting kind of tired, Batista.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, look, I'm going to learn how to dance now? Okay, I guess.
But when he said that, I thought to myself, I was like, you do the same thing, Batista. Everywhere you go, you're cool with people.
No, that's the thing with him is that he does the same exact thing that he, you know, says about other people, you know, because like he's lying to the police department out there. They think that he's still on, you know, still on payroll and supposed to be out there. And then is this the episode where Detective Staying Alive, where she calls Miami and talks? Or
no,
is that the next
episode? Okay. 8.
Okay, I'm getting them. It's all just one big fun episode for me.
It is. And I like how episode 7 and 8 coincides together.
Yeah, it's a perfect, like,
it's perfect. And I'm glad in a way that I binged it like this, where you have episode 7 and then 8 and how it connects. It makes it a whole lot better for an experience to me.
I will say that during the ride with Batista and Dexter, where he's driving them, the soundtrack choice was awesome. Like,
I don't know if
you got that, but the song was like something like it was like something about there's a standoff coming or something.
Yeah, it's called it's by Electric Light Orchestra. It's called Showdown.
Showdown, yeah, there's a showdown coming.
Because I ended up downloading the song right after that. I'm like, okay, I have to have that song.
Yeah.
But yeah, the placement for that song is great.
Because, like, in the apartment with Blessing's family, like, at the end, Dexter was like, oh, yeah, we're going to catch up on the ride home or whatever. And then we cut to them in the car, and it's dead silent.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel the tension growing. And then we've got, like you know, OG Dexter with, like, with his threats. And I love his threats.
I do too.
Me too. And you mentioned this, Anastasia, about how much you've been really wanting this. Where it's like, it's just them one-on-one. Dexter's saying, look, stay the F away from my family. Stay away from me. And you do not want to be playing this game that you're playing.
Exactly. He literally says, if I am the person you think I am, this doesn't end well for you. And he's so right, you know, and it's like Angel, he's just so blind with trying to make this puzzle piece fit, which it does fit, we know as the viewer, but for him, it's, you know, it's the jigsaw puzzle. It's a little askew, and he's just trying to make, you know, the square piece fit into the round circle. You know,
exactly.
And he's blowing up his whole life over it.
And then,
I feel like you could get arrested for this.
You're stalking. You have no proof on anything. All you have is theory.
Yeah, and that's harassment. It.
Yeah.
You know, insane.
I guess technically impersonating a police officer.
Yeah, because you're a retired cop. You're a pedestrian.
Yeah, and he's a civilian now.
Yeah, it would be one thing. I mean, I think they would still respect him if he was honest and said, like, okay, I have this hunch. I'm retired. I've given my life to the force. I could see people respecting that. I would if I was on the other side, you know, but him just outright lying and introducing himself as Detective Batista, you know, to, like, Blessings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you're on the naughty list now.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Yeah, and then also too, I like how I actually posted like a Dexter gif, and the look on my face when I hear Batista say that he put a bug in his car. I'm like, do you have a bug? No, you have AirPods.
They worked.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think, I was like, would that work in real life? Because I know that my AirPods Pro, they make sounds. They like,
AirPod, but here's the thing, if they're in the case, they don't make any sound.
I don't mind my case makes, well, it's like the newer.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So I don't know what version he has, because they're like, you know, there's a new one every like 6 months, I feel like. But like mine makes sounds when it's like the batteries are going low, or I mean, I don't even know why it makes sounds, but it definitely talks. But yeah, I would think that he would have done like an AirTag or something, you know, like something else. But I guess he wasn't planning on it, even though he was trying to, you know, have a confrontation with Dexter. So it's kind of weird. And also like, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Forget myself.
No, it's okay. But also, too, Dexter also doesn't even check his car. He just keeps on driving. So
he's like, sloppy.
You would think that he would actually check his car right then and there, but instead they wait until the next episode. But I mean, one of my friends and I goes, how much do you want to bet that those AirPods die in the next episode? Because the battery power sucks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, your friend was right in a way.
Right.
They definitely died.
Another casualty.
Yeah. So now we're going to go with episode 8, which is the kill room where it happens. So I love how it opens up to that wide angle shot of Batista on the bed looking at the at his conspiracy theorist wall.
Yeah, with his like yarn and stuff.
About how everything connects. And then you also have him talking about Dexter and talking about how he's tracking him and about Cuban restaurants. And he's going to try and track him outside of his normal everyday routine. So you have that going on. And then you also have Dexter's kill list, with Rapunzel being the one that's left over, which is Al. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot about this, but this episode, the overall theme to me is keeping your family life separate from your serial killer life. And also, even with Blessing and his daughter, about keeping his life separate as well. So it's kind of interesting on how they play the narrative off of that. I also said Leon wears a mask, just as the serial killers do when they are out in the public view, because of the tribute to the police officer and being injured in the line of duty, and the way when Charlie approaches him, his mask comes off, because now he's pissed at this other situation outside of the whole entire banquet thing that they're having for the officers. But at first I thought, whenever Leon goes, "So how's your daughter doing?" I thought, okay, you're trying to threaten this woman. And then all of a sudden he goes, "Oh, the medical stuff worked out great for her. Oh, good." So I'm like, okay.
I still think it was a threat.
it did vibe like a threat. Like, you know, like, how could you fuck this up? You know, this whole thing that I've been working on or whatever, it's important to him. And then I helped you with your daughter. Like, what's this about? You know? But yeah, just like a thought, going back a little bit with Angel talking into his like phone, like recording himself. Do you guys think that it's kind of like he's like keeping track of his whereabouts, and like almost like saying, like, if I go missing, if I suddenly die under like weird circumstances, like I wouldn't kill myself. If I'm dead, then somebody murdered me. And also, as a second part, do you think that his recordings are linked to the cloud where somebody else is listening and getting updated? You know, what is happening with these like recordings? Because he's like talking about everything. I was surprised we didn't get an update on like his coffee or if he took a cigarette break or something, you know?
For me, I don't think anybody would be listening to his cloud because he's a retired cop. So I'm like, it's just all this, it's just theory right now, and theory. It's just him trying to prove that Dexter is actually the Bay Harbor Butcher. And then I think he was going to go ahead and turn everything into the detective and have Dexter in his hand in custody and have all the proof that they needed all in one lump sum. I think that was what he was trying to go for. That's just me speculating.
But I definitely think that there could be something to what Anastasia said about if he just disappears or goes missing, that there's a trail that he left for somebody to investigate.
Yeah, maybe it gets released or something.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I don't think that anybody would, like, I don't think he's, like, working with anybody.
I was just trying to think, like, is there somebody, like, in Miami that he's, like, still connected with or anything? Like, I don't know. Because sometimes there's, like, these random characters that come in, you know?
Right, that's true. Someone that we don't know or expect. But then again, Joseph Quinn is actually the only one that is that knows him, and so does Masuka. But I don't see Masuka listening in on the conversations.
Yeah, no, I was like, didn't he have like, who was babysitting for Dexter? Like, wasn't that his niece or something? I was trying to think, like, maybe she would be like, you know, like, that's ready true. To blab. Right? Like, I don't know. I was just trying to think. Because, like, he's going to so much effort to record every little thing.
True. But every detective pretty much records their own stuff, though, too. So it's kind of like that thing of, like, the police force never really left him. So he's thinking that he's still working this case when he's not working this case. Even Joseph says, well, he's retired. So
So maybe it's a trope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Works for me.
But then what did you guys think about the whole entire thing with Leon and Charlie in the kitchen? He's like, what do you pay me for? Just to keep me safe. Okay, then do your fucking job. Mm-hmm. And so she brought everything that Leon said and broke everything down with the manipulation and the killing of Gareth and the serial killers and things like that. It's exactly how it happened. And Charlie goes, well, we don't know enough about Red. We don't know anything about him. All we're doing is going off of, maybe I might have missed something or something like that. And then after that, you don't see any more of that. happening.
I think so, I feel like Leon was in that scene. She presented everything, and he was like, "I trust him. I think he's good." But that last line, I also feel like he said, "Look, I don't believe that you're right, but go ahead." Like, I think he gave her permission to investigate.
Yeah, like, that's what he says. Go do your fucking job.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, I actually on this episode, I had to pause it because I was like telling my husband, like, okay, so he's like a billionaire. He's like, he has everything at his fingertips. Like, you're telling me that Dexter is walking around town and they're not trailing him? Like, they don't know? And I was like, Dexter is so not pretending to be Red when he's out and about.
Right.
He is not covering his
tracks Dexter.
At all. Yeah, he's like 1,000%. He's walking around with like friends and family. And it's like, you would think that, I mean, if I thought that, you know, if I'm dealing with somebody like that, I'm definitely thinking, okay, I'm going to be trailed. I'm going to be under surveillance. I'm going to have this persona, just like kind of like how the Gemini killer, you know, like they had their whole code of not being seen together or anything like that, you know? And it's like, for me, if I was Dexter, I'd be like, okay, when I leave my apartment, I've got to be Red. Cause who knows, like what he has, like, can Dinklage like watch like just like the regular surveillance cameras because he's connected to the police, like of buildings, like in the city, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like nothing is off the table for him. And so that kind of bugged me. It's like, how do they not find out that he's dead? You know?
Because I was also thinking the same thing too, though. Like after he gets done with the party and stuff like that too, I'm like, he's a billionaire. Wouldn't he be tracking you and stuff? And that was my first thing that I thought of. I don't trust you know what I'm saying? You shouldn't trust billionaires who has their hands in their pockets with FBI agents and police officers. What makes you think that they're not going to have tabs on you?
And also with them all getting their cars in one lot and leaving them unsupervised for so long and him taking them away on a helicopter, I could see somebody else besides like Charlie putting trackers on. Like, that would be my go-to if I was a billionaire and I want to keep track because maybe I'm worried that they're going to come kill me, you know?
Or Leon himself.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, I get you.
Yeah. And so, like, I feel like that's just like a little bit of a hole, like, because we're just making him such a big force and that he's so connected with the police and they want to do everything they can to make him happy. And he's like probably bringing them funding and spotlighting them. And you know what I mean? Like, people like bend over backwards for other people like that, you know?
Right. So let's see. Now we got Steve Sharippa, which is the guy from The Sopranos and stuff like that. But, you know, everybody was speculating maybe Harrison really killed the landlord because he hasn't been answering his phone. But I was thinking to myself, no, if you're a shitty landlord, you're not going to be answering this person's phone.
Yeah.
So I was like, so I put that off. But also, too, I was thinking that Harrison might actually kill him after this. But it winds up being the opposite. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then we actually have Dexter decorating the kill room in a wig shop for Al. The perfect way to get rid of Al. Dexter's shoulder is still hurting him. Batista tracked him to the wig shop. So
my question on this is, like, is this wig shop never open? Like how long was it between Dexter setting up the kill room for Al and then it, like?
Well, there was like a scene where he walks up and there's like a sign that says, leave a note, but they said that they're out of town for X amount of time
for vacation.
He knew it was going to be abandoned. But also, it's like, why would you say that? Because like, then somebody's going to rob your place. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. And then later on, it's like, I don't understand why Dexter, like, because at first I thought that it was just one big room, and I was like, okay, that's why Dexter put the like plastic sheeting over the front. But then we go into there, and there's a separate room. And so he did a double, like, kill room. It's like, why was it? Because that's what kind of led Angel, yeah, that tipped him off because he's like, oh no, the plastic cheating, that's the call. No, not plastic, that's the call sign. But he did that and it was so forced, and then him leaving the sign on, you know what I mean, like, yeah, Dexter's getting sloppy or somebody on the art department is getting sloppy with this.
Well,
because that would have been like me, like, because like I'm very continuity, you know, like I call continuity all the time, and so like if I was on set, I would be like, we cannot have this here, we have to make a different storyline, he's got to come in from the back or something like that, yeah, you know. Well, like he finds the car in the back.
Well, my first thought was this though too, with him, don't forget them, we actually have saran wrap everywhere, we have it near the mannequins, we have it over here where the wigs are. My thing was this, he could also use the excuse that they're under renovations as well, even though they're on vacation.
Yeah, I guess. My doubts are up just because it's such a calling card for Dexter, you know? Like,
I gotcha.
And then Batista would be on that because he knows what, like, the Bay Harbor Butchers kill rooms look like, because they've, like, investigated them. You know what I mean? So right, that's where I was like, oh, it's a little goofy. But, you know, it's still fun.
No, I agree. It was still fun. Like, the saran wrap at the front of the store, that made no sense. Like,
yeah,
once he goes in there, he goes down a long hallway. Like, it takes forever to get from the front to the kill room.
Because I was thinking, I was like, is Dexter really going to kill this guy? Like, in the front area, like, right when, like, people are just walking past, there's all of a sudden, like, a blood splatter or something.
That's how they get dye inside the wigs, you know, they just use the blood splatter. But, you know, but that store looks small from the outside, and the inside it's 10 times bigger than what it's anticipated, because in New York stores, because I'm also from Boston, I also know the layout of a small store, it's not that big. You have a back, yeah, but it's not as big as what they made it out to be as far as this wig shop is. Uh-huh. But they could always use the excuse of, oh, I'm basically using renovations, and that's why the plastic is up. But then again, they're on vacation, so why would they have? I get what you're saying. There's a continuity error within it when you're looking at it.
Yeah.
But the other thing, though, too, is, you know, at first, Batista's like, well, where is he? Where's Dexter at? I tracked him all the way over here. He doesn't even know where he's at. He's parked in the alley. So that's also slick on Dexter. So I really like that part of him fooling Batista with that. And then Dexter's shoulder hurting. I'm like, okay, how the hell are you going to get Al into that car with your shoulder hurting? And then he winds up getting the needles put in him by Blessing's daughter, which is the acupuncture needles. And even with the needles, I don't think it would actually be that quickly to where, like, you know what? I'm good to go. I'm healed. I'm going to go on ahead and start putting this guy in the trunk.
I've never had acupuncture, but maybe. I don't know.
I never had it either, so.
Yeah, the same.
If it's able to heal your muscle like that fast.
That's the case. I need that.
Both of those guys, like the landlord big and dudes. Then... They're big boys, yeah, you know, and I thought that was so funny with, like, when he gets the landlord in and then there's like somebody just on their phone walk by. It's so true. Like, how many people are on their phones all the time? They would not notice anything happening.
I like it because I love New York.
Love New York.
But also, it's like, do you think that Dexter was planning on, I'm talking about the landlord, he didn't really meet the specifics of his code, mm-hmm, you know, because he was like, I feel like he was having this like discussion with like his ghost dad, like, you know, it was like kind of like a moral issue, like, are you sure you're gonna like kill this guy? He doesn't really meet any of the stuff, and Dexter's like probably thinking like, yeah, he's probably killed somebody, you know, and like trying to figure that out to make it justified for him. But also it's like kind of weird because he like had the pantyhose over his head and everything. So it's like, I don't know. I'm debating on if he was, because that in the moment, he was, like, he was going to let him go. But it's like he's still recognizable. And also because he had that confrontation
in the office
like 5 minutes before, So it's probably in his head, like when people piss me off, like on the road, I'm going to remember what they look like in 5 minutes, you know?
Right. But also too, though, it was dark at night. And another thing as well, I want to mention this too. He calls up Red first after confrontation with the landlord, I believe. And that falls through because remember he was going to go on here and get coffee with Al, and then Al cancels out on him. And he goes, look, man, I'm already heading out of the city and stuff. So he already had that itch to want to kill somebody. And at first I put in my notes, I'm like, this is very impulsive of Dexter to want to go after the landlord. Then the way he does it, I'm like, okay, never mind. Because even his fallen father goes, you're kind of reaching, aren't you, Dex, with this whole entire thing? He's looking through the coding of the apartment's rules and regulations to make sure, like you said, Anastasia, with if he fits the code or not. And he goes, you're kind of reaching, Dex. This guy does not fit the code.
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't think he was ever going to kill him. I think he thought about it, but just the fact that he wore the pantyhose thing tells me that he was going to let him live because he's never done that before with anybody that he's killed. Like, he wants them to see him before he kills them. So he was, I think he was going to let him go. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I was kind of on the edge of it because it's like, he did. And it was almost like the lollipop got pulled out of his mouth without ditching. And also, I mean, like to step back on that whole situation, like how forced was Dexter? Like, he was not being casual at all. He was very forceful and trying, like, very weird. Mm-hmm. And that probably raised red flags with Al, this like serial killer. Like, okay, all of these people are dying around Red. And he wants to meet with me, like I'm next. I don't even think he went to the Broadway show.
Same.
I think he just left town.
Like, but the telling thing in that whole thing is when he threw the phone out the window.
Right. Oh, because yeah. I remember that this, Jason.
Yeah, that was later. But I think with him making plans, I think he wanted to know that like Red was in a spot planning to meet him so he couldn't be followed out of the city. And I don't think he ever went there. I think he left wherever in that first conversation. He's like in his hotel room. I think from his hotel room, he left the city. And so he was probably like hundreds of miles away by the time we tracked back where Dexter's like, oh, I'll just meet you on the road. It's like, what? Like, how weird, you know?
But also too, another thing that conversation with Al on the phone and stuff like that, where Dexter's like, well, I can meet up with you, da-da-da-da-da. He goes, oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I forgot to tell you. I already texted Leon. So I'm thinking to myself, did he tip off Leon on how creepy Dexter is acting to put Charlie in that position at the very end, Charlie and Leon, to track him? Because then he throws the phone out the window. So that's a burner phone. So that makes sense for a serial killer not to have an actual contract phone or anything because it's a burner. But I was just thinking, did he tip off Leon and them and made them track him?
Yeah, that makes really did text total him? Sense. That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, his guard would be up with everything happening and then Dexter/Red acting so crazy to want to see him. And then that's right. He did say that. Yeah. And it's like kind of like how long has Al been going to these dinners? How much like how well is he secure with Dinklage's character? You know, that whole thing,
right.
You know, has it been like 5 years? Has it been 10 years? How long has he been active where nothing like this has ever happened? And then all of a sudden Red comes in. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of wish that this whole thing, I feel like it could have happened over a few seasons, you know? Yeah. I feel like I would have liked to spend more time with some of the other serial killers. But I guess, I mean, there's always some looming serial killer that Dex has to find in the background, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's like the Ripper.
Right, and that's what I wanted to mention though too, because you mentioned this earlier too, like, you know, about how rushed it was to kill off Garrett and stuff. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, think of this as like a video game. You have all these other little minions you have to go ahead and kill before you get to the big bad.
little
so boss. I'm thinking
the boss fight.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So the boss fight would actually be the New York City Ripper.
Yeah.
I have a new theory on who it is.
Oh, do tell.
I think it's the lead detective. I think she investigated herself and like could never find like, oh, I can't find him.
Well,
that'd be also convenient.
Yeah.
Right. But also, too, though, people are saying, well, the voice doesn't match or anything like that. They could use voice changers and stuff like that to make it not her. But at the same time, though, she's also using a, one of those things to actually take off manhole covers. So it's like, does she have enough strength to be able to use something like that?
Yeah, she doesn't look like she's like totally beefed out. You know what I mean? Like, she's like kind of like, you know, it's like you can tell when somebody, you know, has, you know, their neck and their back and everything. And she's like a little bit skinny arms. So I don't know, maybe. But I have a thought that maybe the Staying Alive detective, maybe she is one of the victim's sisters, because they were talking about earlier that the New York Ripper has been calling a surviving sister and kind of antagonizing her. And so maybe that's how she's connected to the Ripper. Or, you know, because like there has been time where the Ripper didn't kill. Maybe she got so warped and went crazy and took up the reins, so to speak, you know?
Mm. It's interesting.
You see, and I was also thinking it might be Harrison's girlfriend, Gigi, with her having nerve damage for some reason, too.
With the blonde, that one?
Yeah, the blonde.
I was thinking that she might be like a sacrificial lamb or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's why she's in, like, maybe something's going to happen. And then, like, Harrison and Dexter are going to have to team up and save her. Because, yeah, it's just kind of random that they're like, I mean, what? We have like 2 episodes left this season. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's so weird to, like, you know. Introduce
somebody, yeah, brand new. He's already got like another girlfriend, so it's like.
Well, I was thinking that when they were coming down the elevator, the elevator. Yeah. I was thinking that they were going to bump into her, and then she was going to get jealous or something. And I'm kind of glad that they didn't do that trope. But I was kind of thinking, because there's a little bit of like chemistry between his like work partner, you know, and like the kid, and how he's like supportive of her and stuff.
See, I was thinking the opposite, though. I don't think that they're boyfriend and girlfriend. I think that they're just friends. Mm-hmm. And he just watches the kid and stuff like that, because I know people that are like that. So,
oh, totally. I'm not saying that they're together. I'm just saying it's a little bit of chemistry. And even Harrison mistook some of her vibes for being interested, and he tried to kiss her, right? Right? We saw that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that they're together at all. I think they're just friends. But also, it's like, if you have a crush on somebody secretly and you don't even realize it until they're with somebody else, maybe seeing him with another girl who's all over him or something, I just thought that there might be a moment, but I'm so glad there wasn't, because I was like,
me too. Oh,
dang, I don't want to call everything, you know?
I'm glad it wasn't like that. And I like the joke in between Gigi and him, though, too. It's like, I always thought my first time would be in a fancy hotel. Is what? Because I'm just fucking with you. I definitely like those little jokey moments. It's
she definitely screws with him a lot. It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of a brass character, right?
Right. But that's just speculation as to who I think it might be, but I still don't know who it is. It might even be the detective partner, like you mentioned, Anastasia, last time we did this.
He's still a very high suspect on my list. But I think it'd be a hell of a twist to have it be the female detective, Staying Alive detective.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, it's funny because it feels like the male voice that we hear during her lecture, he seems kind of familiar. And I don't know why. Maybe that's just like a big grasp, but the voice kind of feels familiar. Well, and I'm not saying it's like Dinklage or anything, but it kind of vibes a little bit.
There is a theory going around right now in the Dexter group that I'm in, where people are saying it's the Trinity killer's son.
I've thought of that too.
So that could be it, though.
But
too.
I feel like the timeline is a little off, right? Because like, how long has the New York Ripper been killing to have like X amount of time off? And it's like, has he been killing since he was a toddler? You know, yeah. Like,
I feel like the New York Ripper has been killing for a while.
Right. Yeah. So that's where I thought that maybe it was going to be Leon's first, like the killer that he visit, like his first kind of like serial killer. You know, because like he opened up saying like, this isn't the first time I've killed, you know.
Here's a question. Where did Leon get the Ripper's weapon? Because the Ripper's never been caught. And even the police don't know what the weapon is. So there has to be a link between Leon and the Ripper. Like the Ripper's like, here you go. Here's my weapon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's like a prized possession. And also I feel like because it's so active in that universe right now, it would be on all the news channels and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like, why didn't Dexter ask who the Ripper is? Mm-hmm. Like, because he has everything. And obviously, Dinklage's character, he likes to chat about his, you know, prized possessions, his trophies.
Leon has to know who it is.
Like I kind of still think that he's in cahoots with somebody. And
I think so, too. I think he has the Ripper probably in hiding as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many versions of this that all kind of make sense. But I was also wondering when the woman detective, when she calls Miami and talks to, what's his name? Quinn?
Joseph.
Yeah. When she talks to him. Like, does he know that Dexter is still alive, or does he not know? Because she doesn't ask him anything about Dexter. Like,
no, because this is what happens, okay? So, Batista, this is after Batista winds up calling her. He goes, look, I got a body here. I've got proof that the Bay Harbor Butchers is here. You need to come down here. And then she comes down there, and so does her partner, and goes, wait, you don't have a body. You don't have anything. Well, I ended up stopping him before he could do anything. There was this guy that ran out of the wig shop. And what does he look like? Well, he's big, got black hair, looks Italian. Because, well, pretty much half the people in the city and also in the police force. So you don't have a case at all. It makes him look like he's a crazy stalker. And he's also saying this. You act like that you guys, that I ended up putting all this up myself. And I'm the one who's the, and goes, she goes, well, it's funny that you would actually say that. And that's what Wallace says to him. But then after that, she's looking through the Bay Harbor Butcher stuff. And then calls Joseph Quinn up. He goes, yeah, I'm just talking about this case that we're working on, the Bay Harbor Butcher case. He goes, oh, that case has been closed for years. He goes, do you know? So is Batista, as a matter of fact, your captain is here. Batista, he goes, Batista. He's retired. So that's whenever I'm thinking that she's going to go ahead and get him out of New York at this point, but he's not going to leave. I know he's not.
Yeah. I mean, so much in those moments, it's like, what fate for Dexter that he didn't get caught. And then also is like kind of making it look like Angel's the Bay Harbor Butcher, which is so brilliant. And, you know, just by fate, like it wasn't planned. He just walked into that scenario. But also I thought it was weird of the New York detectives to just be so cautious and weary of Angel, because they were totally supportive of him. You know what I mean? And right. Like think that that's him and not to believe things.
To answer your question, though, I don't think anybody in Miami knows that Dexter's alive. I don't think Batista's told anybody down there.
Well, yeah, because that would rat him out, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's not supposed to be there. He's like impersonating what you guys were saying. He's impersonating a detective, which is crazy. But yeah, so just having the whole kill room and then, you know, him just looking like he's psychotic. Because, yeah, the victim just vanished. He doesn't have a name. He barely has a description, you know, and then, like, when he shows them, like, oh, look, this is where Dexter is. And then, you know, Dexter.
Yeah, because at that point, he finds the AirPods. He's like, I had a tracking device. Really? So you got a warrant? No. This makes them not want to trust them, though. It made him look crazy because of the fact that he has AirPods tracking a suspect and not a bug, and that's also making him look suspect as well. And then Dexter's also pissed off at Batista for putting this in his car. He goes, I got to do something with Batista. I'm like, technically, you don't have to do anything with Batista.
Because he's doing it to himself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like burying himself with everything.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be like this raving lunatic at the end of this like season, you know, like Dexter, it's him. And then he's like in jail.
I can see him with this conspiracy theory. It's like, you know how in Gotham and Arkham Asylum, where you have like different killers and stuff like that, they all have their own themes inside their jail cell. Here's Batista with the conspiracy theorist wall of the Bay Harbor Butcher.
It's going to be like a big, a huge photo of like Dexter Morgan's face and then like all of the like Bay Harbor Butcher like stuff around it. It's going to look like
Dokes is going to be next to him. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's going to be like little candles. It's going to be great. All the fangirls are going to be swooning.
But another thing, though, too, I laughed at is like when Dexter has the stocking on his face and then he's like, and he's talking to Steve Sharippa, he's like, so do you think you can change?
And then,
and then when Harrison also tells him, so, but how did it go with the landlord? He goes, we had a heart to heart conversation. You threatened him, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is the last part of it. So Leon at the end, finding out that Dexter has a son, it explains the question is, can Leon still trust him? I wonder if Leon will geek out because Dexter is the Bay Harbor Butcher. Yeah, and this also leads into my whole entire thing. I'm thinking he's going to feel like he betrayed Dexter, betrayed his trust. I think after a while, he's going to warm up to Dexter again. And this is great white shark that he's been or wheel that he's been wanting to have.
Yeah. Wasn't that a crazy ending? I did not like, I wasn't expecting to see that. And at first I thought he was going to mention the stake, like, oh, man, you've really, you know, gone off the deep end.
When Dexter looked up and his face changed and like you didn't know who it was yet, I thought it was going to be Batista. I was not expecting Leon. It could go a lot of different ways, man, honestly. It'll be interesting to see which way they choose.
I mean, Charlie looks really happy outside. She's like, yeah, I got him.
I told you. I could just see.
Told you. He's a creep motherfucker.
But I like how Leon walks in there and goes, Red, you didn't tell me you had a son. And the look on Dexter's face, though, is the same reaction that he had when Trinity caught him in the police station and stuff. So it was that same shocked face that we've seen back then. So I thought that was pretty cool. Right. And then I thought to myself, please, Harrison, don't ask him why he's calling him Red. Please.
I know. I was like, he should know by now to just shut up. Like, do not, like, your dad has, like, a total different life. I mean, he doesn't. Harrison doesn't know about the serial killer stuff, right? And you would think that at this point, like with Dexter trying to be more honest with his life, that he would just say like, hey, I fell into this thing on accident. Now I'm, you know, taking care of them or whatever. But like, be cautious because people are watching. You know, like I would think that he would debrief him a little bit like that.
Right.
But that was so like my heart sank just like looking. But what a fantastic actor Michael C. Hall is. Just all in that moment. That was like a 2 seconds worth of acting and how just, oh my God, he's so talented.
He really is.
I was actually mentioning that earlier when we were talking about when him and Batista were in the car and he threatens them, just how dark he's able to look. And it's so crazy that he's able to go from like do that with, you know, super talented dude.
Yeah, so much range. He's so talented. But also real quick, I think when the woman detective, when she was doing research like on the Bay Harbor Butcher, didn't we get an article that kind of connected the original sin like with Captain Spencer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And wasn't that sad? Like we're doing a tie-in with that, but then that show just, it got renewed and then canceled in the same week. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But now we've got like this weird side thing that connect. You know what I mean? Because they're building that world, which I love when you know you can do that.
And it was a good show too. I really liked it. I thought the casting was amazing on it.
I really liked it. I enjoyed Dexter Original Sin. I thought the casting of it was really good. The actor that plays Michael C. Hall's character is knocked it out of the park. The guy who plays Masuka knocked it out. Everybody was on their A game on this. It was perfect casting. We're right on through. The storytelling was really good. They kept up with the original lore of Dexter, even though we knew parts of it, but they also expanded it, which is a hard thing to do after so many years of us with a character. So I really enjoyed it. I do remember whenever they renewed it, and then all of a sudden Paramount now is going into a new regime with new studio heads, and now they're focusing on other things aside from Dexter Original Sin. But from what I heard, and this is just a rumor right now that I've heard, that they're still going to continue with Dexter Resurrection, and they're still going to use the actor that plays Dexter, the young Dexter.
In flashbacks.
Flashbacks.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, no, I think they're like, isn't that official that they got that they're getting a second season with Resurrection, or is that
Right now, I'm putting it as a rumor. Right now, I know Screen Rant posted it, but I'm waiting for other confirmations to come through. So once I find that out, then I'll put it as fact. But right now, that's the only source I have to go on.
Yeah, well, I love original, like, the old school original Dexter. That's my favorite. And then I would say Resurrection, because it's like we get Dexter back, you know, kind of in his like old glory days, you know. I didn't really have an attachment. I thought that it's hard because Michael C. Hall is such a nuanced and amazing actor. For me personally, I think the actor who was trying to play a younger version of him was good, but he did not have the charisma. For me, like, he didn't have the same vibe as Dexter Morgan. But I did like the Masuka. I like some of the other characters and stuff. But I'm so, like, I'm sad because I feel like it's great to keep on expanding that universe. So I'm sad for them. But it would be really cool if they kind of did little flashbacks. But also, I like it when they do flashbacks with Michael C. Hall and they just put like a wig on him. Like, that's my favorite.
Me too.
Or like on Saw, when the, like, if you have a character and then you put like a backwards baseball hat, automatic like flashback, they're like 20 years younger.
Right, you put a cap on, you look great, you don't have to do any de-aging or anything like that.
That's it. Yeah, no, that was perfect for me when they did the like flashbacks with Michael C. Hall in the wig. I love that. So but, I hope they do that again instead, actually.
Me too. I hope they do a little bit of something from the original stuff for like flashbacks and things like that. But yeah, I thought this episode was really good. I enjoyed it. I really liked the tie-in with episode 7 and 8. The thing with Blessing and the daughter and stuff like that, I really feel bad that Dexter accidentally told her about Blessing's life. But of course, I would actually think that Blessing would have actually talked to his daughter about that and not keep it a secret. But still, I don't see that.
Huh? I said, so did she.
Right.
I know she was saying exactly what we've been saying, that, you know, it's like, why would you open up to a total stranger after only knowing them for 2 weeks? But I guess there's like some kind of like safety in that because they don't have all of that baggage. And, you know, because
there's like, no one else that they can tell because they don't know anybody.
At that point, you've led, like, even though it was a safety lie, just because he didn't want to be perceived as that person, you know. Because that's not his life and that's not what he wanted to be anyways. He was forced. So like it's probably hard because it's like he doesn't want to lose his family over like that lie that was done to protect them, you know.
Exactly. So, Anastasia, I know that you have a little bit of an announcement that you want to make. So I'll let you have the ground floor, then I'll pass it over to Jason and then over to me.
Oh, totally. Thank you. So
you're welcome.
It was just announced that Ricky and I were going to be doing a screening event at Happy Fright Film Festival in Filmar. And that's October 17th through the 19th. And so we're going to have a screening event Saturday, October 18th. So we're going to show Bloody Bridget during the film festival and Forbidden Zone. And then I'm going to do like my bloody burlesque intro to Bloody Bridget. And then there's going to be a fun, like, little pre-show performance to start off the Forbidden Zone screening. And I think there's going to be like a little band, and we're going to do like Q&As and meet and greets and stuff. So I'm excited to announce that. And I hope everybody in the like kind of LA area joins. It's going to be a really fun time. I love the festival people there, Sean and I like Paul and everything. And so we're gearing up for that. So that's really exciting.
That's awesome. I'm really happy for you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Very well. I gotta say your cosplay that I saw of the Return of the Living Dead 3 girl.
Oh, it was good. Yeah.
It was great.
Oh, thank Fantastic. You.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love doing I love creating these wild bloody burlesque pre-show performances. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was such a fun character, Julie, to do for Return of the Living Dead 3. And our friend Brian Usna directed that. And so I got to kill so him cool. Yeah. And rip out his guts in front of everybody and then eat his brain. And then the film started. So it was really fun. Really wow. Special for fans because like that doesn't play that often.
The movie's low key really good.
I like it.
A lot better than 2 was.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like them all. And I mean, they're all like kind of special in their
even
own way.
Even 4 and 5?
What?
I said even 4 and 5?
Well, you know, depends on what day it is. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for saying that. That was so nice.
Oh, absolutely.
But Jason, you got something else that you want to announce as far as your film goes?
Yeah. So I think this airs maybe Monday or Tuesday. It will be so The Forest Through the Trees, my film, is now on Tubi. So you can watch it for free on Tubi and also the Roku channel. So just check it out. And yeah.
All right. Congratulations to you on your film, man. I'm proud of you on that.
Appreciate it.
No problem. So. Okay, so I have a couple of announcements here. So I have Beth coming on for the Made for TV Movie podcast on Tuesday, and we're going to be talking about Summer School. We're going to be reviewing the 1987 movie Summer School, where I have Josh Prey coming back on September 10th at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We're going to be talking about Who Asked for This, which is sequels, reboots, and stuff like that for films that people wonder why the hell did it even happen. So we're going to be talking about that. And then I have Doom Generation podcast. We're going to be doing Airborne August 28th at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Zoe will be coming back on September 2nd to do our Rookie of the Year review. I know I'm a little behind on some of this. Like I said, I ran into some car trouble. I apologize for missing out on our Dexter reviews and stuff like that to you guys. I'm so sorry for that. I'm sorry for having to reschedule stuff. But hey, I'm here now. I had a rough 2 weeks ago, so... It's always a pleasure to actually have you guys listen to our show. So do me a favor. Go over to Apple Podcasts. Go over to Spotify. Tell me what you guys think of our Dexter After Show. Give us a 5-star review. And also, too, comment with I like to geek out with you guys and things like that, too. So go on ahead. Or if you want to, just email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com. And that's going to be it as far as this review goes. I hope everyone has a great and safe day. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. See you guys. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Anastasia.
In a town
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, guys.
Man
Bye-bye.
Hides his truth beneath layers of flannel and plastic wrap. This is the Dexter Reservoir.